Ingrid Leary is the opposition spokesperson for mental health, and Ingrid is the MP for Tairi down in the south. Following on from our question of the day, which was, is the government doing enough when it comes to mental health? Nearly 1,000 people responded, 90% saying more needs to be done. With the election campaign underway, we check in with the Labour mental health spokesperson, Ingrid Leary, is with us today. Thanks for joining us, Ingrid. Tēnā koe. Kia ora, Ingrid. Ngā mihi nui kā koe. Thanks for your time. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Hi there. With more than 90% of our respondents saying the government needs to do more on mental health, what would Labour specifically do differently to improve mental health outcomes? Let's look at the Māori model, because our people interact with the mental health service well as much, perhaps even more than most. So what differences in approach would Labour propose and get underway should there be a change of government in November, Ingrid? Kōrero no mai.
Oh, kia ora. Well, thank you for the pātai. Of course, we're yet to release our manifesto. But when I look at the mental health plan that was released a couple of weeks ago by the government, building on the work of the Mental Health Commission, fantastic plan, going in the right direction, with a lot more focus on prevention, so that's great. But when we think about how that plan could be delivered under this national government, when many of the things that are being talked about are to do with identity, social determinants and so on, very difficult to know how they would be able to deliver on that plan. So I think what people need to assess is what's really going on, what's lip service and what can be achieved given the policies that are being rolled out.
Yeah, tēnā koe. I understand too that it's a little awkward because the manifesto itself hasn't yet been revealed. But even so, we know that mental health per se is a tough nut to crack. And there have been efforts to, I think the last Labor government put $1 billion towards better outcomes, but yet it's a very complex area, is it not?
And we yes, it is. And let's be careful about the $1.9 billion, because we did invest a significant amount of money into mental health. But if I look at the accounting structures where the ring fence exists, for example, we've got the current government saying that it's put an extra $700 million in. It's very difficult to test the veracity of those numbers. It's a bit of an accounting miss. For example, I have official documents where officials are asking why Gumboot Friday is included in some of those numbers and not in others of those numbers. So I think we've just got to look instead, rather than at the numbers, which don't add up whichever way you look at it, what's the real experience that people have of the mental health system currently? We know that youth mental health is in crisis. We know there's a complete lack of services for youth mental health crisis and for them to be able to get into services in a timely way. I'm really pleased that the government has announced it is going to start counting the wait times for youth. But without counting the declined referrals, you still only get half the picture. So one of the things that we need to do in government is really be a lot more transparent and accurate about what is being counted, so that when the government says things are getting better, that matches the reality of people out in the community. I think what we're seeing under this government is the reality is really tough. People are waiting a long time. They're unable to access services. They're struggling with some of the identity politics that are happening, which is also impacting mental health. And yet we have a government who's saying that everything's getting better, and it's just not matching their reality. They're out of touch.
Yeah, thank you, Ingrid. Fair call. Our people, Māori, continue to face barriers accessing timely and culturally appropriate mental health and addiction support. You've touched on aspects of that. What commitment would Labour make to cope up with Māori services, Māori providers, and growing, indeed, the Māori mental health workforce?
Well, first of all, we've got to recognise Te Tiriti, and we've got to keep it in legislation, and we've got to stop stripping it out of the laws that are creating further inequities for Māori. And secondly, we have to acknowledge equity across the board. And again, we've seen a stripping out of the acceptance of equity going right up to the top, even to Minister Brown, who could not answer a simple question in the House from me during one of the parliamentary reviews, where he refused to say whether he thought that equity was about clinical outcomes, which we all know it is. So getting those basics right has got to be significantly important. And when we do that, once we start looking with an equity lens, then of course the decisions that flow from that are going to have the outcomes that Māori need and deserve to be able to get the levels of outcome that they experience up with the rest of the population.
What measurable targets should our whānau use then to hold political parties accountable, Labour included, if you return to government in November, particularly around Rangatahi Māori? We've got suicide prevention issues, access to care, and of course the compounded mental health challenges that this wave of drugs that are hitting our shores are contributing to. It's tough turf out there, not just for our young people, because we've got many older people too in states of despair. But how should we, as a people, hold politicians accountable for the way that they address mental health challenges, Ingrid?
Yeah, kia ora for that pātai. That's an incredibly important one. And I've often said I believe we don't count the right things in government. We've got to be careful with targets, because it's very easy to come up with targets and then game the system, or even put perverse drivers in so that clinicians and those who are stretched on the front line are trying desperately to meet the targets for funding reasons, and we end up with care not really being clinically focused. So targets are an issue, but you're right, we have to hold politicians to account. And I would like to see us counting the opportunity cost as well. So when we look at the social determinants for mental health, housing, education, healthcare, and so on, what is the interplay with those? We know, for example, if we keep a child in a house continually for the first 12 years of their life, they're going to have much better life outcomes, whether it's their educational outcomes, going on to higher education, or their mental health. That's all been evidenced through the longitudinal study in Dunedin and through the WISE group and others that work in the sector. So how can we better capture and use that data and get valuable insights from it, rather than these very rudimentary, superficial targets that the government's currently using, such as wait times, without using the other side of that coin, which is declined referrals? We've got to get the full picture and do it properly. And I think when there's transparent information, then people on the ground can determine what is being prioritised and how they will hold their politicians to account for those decisions. Because at the end of the day, it's all choices. And I think people deserve to know what is being prioritised.
Tēnā koe, I'm looking forward to hearing a more detailed plan of Labor's approach to improved mental health. But in an increasingly complex world that we are living in, the challenges are immense. And let's face it, all of us would carry some sort of mental health challenges from time to time in our lives. So it's a hard nut to crack, but we've got to keep doing the very best that we can. And looking forward to more conversations with you as we get closer to the election and beyond. Ingrid, thanks very much for sharing a few thoughts with us briefly this morning. Appreciate your time and thoughts.
Kia ora. Have a great week.
Thank you.